Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That'd be very nice of you. You can email us with any advertising inquiries or basketball questions at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at lockedonbulls. Like us on Facebook at lockedonbulls. Check out any of the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On Bears with Arthur Arkush, any of the other NFL or NBA team podcasts. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. Cody, this is the last Locked On Bulls that we're going to do without a real regular season game to talk about.
That's what our goal was, the aim. We've made it to the start of the regular season. Bulls host the Celtics Thursday night at the United Center. Their season opener, the Celtics, of course, will be playing the Nets on Wednesday night. And we are taping this on Wednesday evening, right before they play that game.
So we'll probably wrap up taping this as that game tips off.
Yeah, they'll be coming off a back-to-back. The Celtics are down 2 rotation players, correct, Sean?
Yeah.
In the form of Marcus Smart and Kelly Olynyk?
Yeah, Marcus Smart has a sprained ankle. He is not going to be playing. They said early November he's aiming to come back, so he will not be back for the game tomorrow. He may or may not be back for the game between the Bulls and the Celtics in Boston on November 2nd. I would lean against it. Kelly Olynyk had shoulder surgery. He is targeting mid-November, so he's probably going to miss both of those early games. And, I mean, I think the Celtics are pretty clearly a better team than the Bulls. But, with the Bulls having everybody healthy, and Fred Hoiberg said today at practice that everybody's good to go. Denzel Valentine talked to reporters. He said that his ankle is good. He is anticipating being able to play tomorrow. He doesn't know how much he will play, but he should be able to play. Everybody's healthy. There are zero injury concerns with the Bulls going into the season. So between that and the fact that the Bulls will be fresh and the Celtics are coming off a back-to-back and the fact that it's a home game on TNT on a Thursday night.
Yeah, you're missing the most important point here. I don't know why we're talking the basketball aspect when you can just, you know, put your money on the Bulls and know that they win all TNT games at the United Center that are regular season games dating back to February 2013. That streak has run to what the best we can tell and believe is 15 in a row. That comes with a lot of research from Jay Pat of Bloggable, our friend, and also just tracing back through the end of last year. But it's just automatic guarantee. Bulls win those games, which I always kind of get a kick out of. They've obviously got up and excited for a lot of those. TNT, I think, likes sending their broadcast crew to Chicago because they like the city.
Right.
And they like the atmosphere. And it, you know, kind of leads to a lot of Bulls home games on Thursday nights. And this is what they do. So all signs should be pointing to a good effort and a good result from the Bulls in the season opener. But more so than anything, I mean, they're feeling good vibes right now, I think, just getting through training camp healthy. And they like each other so far.
So far.
3-4 in the preseason, you know, nothing to write home about, but hey, that's the
preseason. Who cares?
They were bad at shooting in 1 or 2 preseason games, but they don't see that as a problem yet. We see it as a bigger problem, but all in all, the Bulls are, they're certainly pleased to go into this new season, and I would expect a pretty good effort out of them in the opener. Sean, do you expect anything basketball-wise to take place? Obviously, the Celtics, adding Al Horford to the mix is probably the most interesting part to me, and they also have a bright coach, Brad Stevens.
Well, right, and it's just a team that, first of all, they have a lot of continuity with a lot of guys like Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley who have been there for a few years, so there's not a lot of turnover like there is with the Bulls. And, I mean, like you said, Brad Stevens is one of the smartest coaches in the league, and Rajon Rondo talked about that today at practice, that he's one of the smartest coaches he's ever played for. And he's played for some pretty good coaches, Doc Rivers, Rick Carlisle, George Karl.
Rondo really seemed to like Brad Stevens, too. One of the few coaches he hasn't had a falling out
with. Like, but there's him, and then obviously you add a guy like Al Horford, who's one of the best big men in the league, and he's a guy who plays both ends of the floor. He's really versatile. He can play the four and the five. He can shoot from the mid-range. We've talked about this before. We think they're maybe the second or third best team in the East.
Yeah, and I love the Al Horford signing. I'm going to be really
interested. It's such a good fit. Beyond him, just like, because he was probably the second best player on the market besides Kevin Durant this summer, but it's such a good fit with what the Celtics needed.
Yeah, because he's unselfish, too, is a big thing to me. A two-way player, good rebounder, is not a game-changing defender, but within a system, he's a good defender, does his job. Tom Thibodeau would probably have loved to coach that day.
Oh, God,
yes. Got some time in
his life. Well, he and Joakim were teammates in college at Florida, and they're still really tight.
Yeah, and they had Brewer on that team, too. That's a heck of a team to look back on. They won back-to-back national titles. Young Al Horford and Joakim Noah, it's really easy to see how they dominated down low, defensively and offensively back then, because those guys have both had spectacular NBA careers. But on that note, Joakim Noah did make his regular season debut for the Knicks along with Derrick Rose, and they got absolutely stomped on NBA opening night against the Cavs in Cleveland on the banner-raising ceremony, after the banner-raising ceremony, and the Knicks didn't look good at all.
No, they really didn't, except for Porzingis. Porzingis looked excellent. I really like, you know, I think he's going to really make the leap this year. But yeah, Joe didn't do a lot. He didn't look like he was moving very well. There were some things where, you know, the idea of the combination of him and Porzingis looks like it could be interesting, but he didn't really have a huge impact. Derek started off the night really sloppy. I think he had four turnovers in the first quarter or the first, like, quarter and a half. He looked pretty good getting to the basket. He basically looked about like he looked the last couple of years with the Bulls when he was healthy. He got to the basket well, finished well. Didn't really do much in the way of playmaking. Still has no jump shot.
Yeah, he was 7 of 17 from the field. To me, it felt like I didn't watch the game like you did quite as closely through its entirety, but it seemed to me it was kind of an empty night that he had with the Bulls sometimes, where he didn't have a lot of assists, had basically just as many turnovers as assists, and wasn't efficient enough from the field to, like, be the go-to guy offensively for him. You know, you got to do better than 7 of 17, and you spoke to him looking better after the sloppy start. But still, at the same time, there's going to be a big learning curve, I feel like, for that Knicks team. And that's assuming they can stay healthy, of course, too, because I just really don't see Rose and Melo and Joakim Noah staying healthy for anything close to 82 games, probably not even close to like 50 or 60 games altogether. That would be a hope for them, but they'll be battling the Bulls probably for that 8-seed range or so, still suspect. Maybe we don't after the opening.
Well, I've always been a little bit lower on the Knicks than a lot of people. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I can pretty, you know, confidently say I don't think the Knicks are going to make the playoffs.
Well, there you go. There's one prediction. And we will have a Bulls record prediction for you at the end of this podcast.
End of the episode. We've got our actual predictions.
Classic podcast move. Keep you around listening to the very end for this one. We'll reveal our Bulls wins.
Another classic podcast move is the segue into a sponsor. So I want to talk about Mack Weldon.
What, Mack Weldon is the best place to get whatever you're wearing right now in the most comfortable clothing possible. You need to go to MackWeldon.com because Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. We all hate going to the store, dealing with people. So again, online shopping, the way to go. Go to MackWeldon.com. Great shopping experience, and you'll get the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants that you can find.
And they also have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, which means they eliminate odor as you wear them, which is kind of what you want in a pair of
underwear.
We're
making you smarter on this podcast.
Absolutely.
Big words.
You're learning words that you didn't know before. And Mack Weldon wants you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it, and they'll still refund you, no questions asked. And not only do their underwear, socks, and shirts look good and perform well, they're good for working out, going to work, going on dates, just anything, everyday life.
I just wore my Mack Weldon hoodie in the rain, and I really didn't even care. It's kind of getting cold in the fall. This is the time you got to wear hoodies.
You got your Mack Weldon hoodie on right now.
We're not even lying about this, so get yourself to MackWeldon.com, and you'll get 20% off using the promo code LOBULLS, just how it sounds, LOBULLS at MackWeldon.com, the most comfortable clothes you can find. What else is standing out to us here in the early NBA season, one night into the season, Sean?
So we talked a little bit about the Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah debuts in New York, or not in New York, but for the Knicks. Pau Gasol looked awful last night again for the Spurs against the Warriors. And the Warriors...
he had 2 points in the Spurs. Big win over the Warriors, which has totally shifted the NBA landscape with people overreacting already.
Right, of course. I mean, you gotta break up the Warriors now. They're clearly not all they were cracked up to be.
Classic Greg Popovich move.
You knew Pop wasn't going to mail in this game.
Well, he made a joke, too, at his quarter timeout about finding Tim Duncan. They asked him how Tim Duncan, or they were doing without Tim Duncan. He said he's finding him every day for not showing up, even though he was tired.
Well, no, it was an interesting game. Now, but as far as, like, the way as it pertains to the Bulls, Pau Gasol did not look good. He kind of did what he did on defense a lot for the Bulls last year. He would just kind of stand there. Sometimes he'd go for blocks, and so his blocking, I don't think, even think he had any blocks last night.
What was the body language of the Spurs when he was doing this?
I wasn't looking that closely at the body language. I'll have to monitor that as the season goes on. But I'll say this, like, I know one game plus minus is kind of a not really like a thing to go off of, but I just thought this was funny. So the Spurs won by 29 last night over the Warriors. Pau was a minus 13 in 18 minutes.
You know who doesn't think that's funny?
Who?
Tony Snell. The plus minus king.
The plus minus king.
Now plus minuses are not jokes, Sean.
Now in Milwaukee.
Very true.
Not going to play tonight, still recovering from that ankle injury.
Likely a starting two guard at some point when he is healthy for them. But yeah, not high on Powell then yet. One game in.
No, I don't. I mean, I think it's going to be about like it was the last couple of years for the Bulls. Like, he's going to put up good per game averages, but he's not going to actually make them better. He's going to just kind of put up fantasy numbers.
Yeah, I hear you there. I did want to get to some of your Bulls questions.
Well, first, did we talk about the bet that LeBron and Wade made.
You want to do that now? We can get to it. It's on the list.
So LeBron, we should probably just talk about it now because it's actually a pretty good bet. These bets are usually stupid, but LeBron and Wade have hinted that they're gonna do a World Series bet because LeBron is from Ohio, Dwayne Wade is from Illinois, and the Cubs and the Indians are obviously in the World Series right now.
So Dwayne Wade revealed in a video posted online that at stake, if for the loser of the bet, is basically wearing a full baseball uniform to the arena in the first matchup of the year in their respective city. So if the Cubs beat the Indians in the World Series and they are down 1-0 entering Game 2, if the Cubs win, LeBron has to dress in full Cubs uniform, hat, top, bottom, cleats, socks, maybe high socks, and enter the United Center in early December wearing that. Same thing for Dwayne Wade in an Indians uniform if the Indians are to win, which I got a kick out of.
I think that's a pretty good bet. It's clever. Everybody will get some good retweets out of that, like posting pictures as they walk into the arena.
Yeah, I mean, we know these guys are cool in their own skin with everything they've done over the years. I mean, once you're on like the Banana Boat crew, like it's kind of for life there. But it's way better than these stupid bets between mayors that are like exchanging one craft beer and pizza or some delicacy food that no one actually likes. Like, just another reason Dwayne Wade and LeBron James should probably run for mayor when they're done with their basketball careers or something. You know what I mean? Because they already got that part of it figured out.
I can see it. So we got some questions from listeners to get to.
John, via email, and you can find us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com, asks, the Bulls promised to make coaching staff changes, not necessarily head coaching spot, but assistants in the offseason. Did they make any? Well, first of all, John, I don't remember them promising to make any changes on the staff. I know they discussed and said they would look into every aspect of the organization, which included the medical training staff, where there was turnover. There wasn't really any turnover at all on the coaching staff for the Bulls.
Now, Nate Lenzer, who used to be a video coordinator for the team, is now the head coach of the Windy City Bulls in the D-League. But other than that, there haven't been any changes.
Jim Boylan's still kind of the lead assistant, defensive coordinator type guy, Randy
there
Brown.
There were reports that Randy Brown was going to be moving into a front office role, but he's still on the bench.
Yeah, and Charlie Henry's back, Mike Wilhelm's back, and who am I missing there? One person, I think. Pete Myers, of course.
Pete Myers, yeah.
All those guys still in the picture. Rohan via email says, what's Denzel Valentine's ceiling? Some think he'll be a solid basketball player. I think he can actually be a taller version of Chris Paul. Then he just needs to work on his defense, which Jimmy Butler can help him out with. Denzel Valentine, future Chris Paul.
I think maybe we need to pump the brakes a little bit on comparing Denzel Valentine to, you know, a future Hall of Famer and the greatest point guard of his generation. I mean, I think the defense, one thing that Rohan, I think, is right about is that the defense is going to be his biggest weakness. Because offensively, I like a lot of what Valentine can bring. He's a good ball handler. He's a good playmaker. He's a good outside shooter. He does a lot of what the Bulls kind of need. The defense is going to be sort of a weak point, but I think good rotation player is about where I'd put him.
Yeah, I think I understand the basis, I guess, in that Denzel Valentine does see the floor very well. Mm-hmm. The Bulls praise him, laud him for that. Chris Paul sees it very well, but Chris Paul sees the floor better than almost anyone in NBA history, and is also really quick, has some of the best handles in the NBA, is one of the smartest pick and roll players to ever play in the NBA, has that mid-range jump shot and an uncanny ability to get to the hoop too and finish, which opens up everything else and allows his vision to be used in a way that Denzel Valentine's probably can't even be used. So I kind of see some of that, but Chris Paul, a lot of basketball light years ahead of Denzel Valentine still. Nikki via email had a long-winded question. We loved the feedback. Loved the breakdown on, I think, how many players do the Bulls have under 27 that Gar Foreman always points out? Nikki broke down most of them. Appreciate that. Not going to break down all of them, but the gist of the question is, do you think the Bulls will look to trade Rajon Rondo and or any of those young players after December 15th and before the trade deadline to create a more balanced roster? The gist of the question was the young players aren't all around basketball players yet exactly, and there are some deficiencies on the Bulls roster.
Well, I think that is definitely true. There are some guys that need to develop in order for the Bulls to reach their full potential. As far as whether they're going to make any moves, the Bulls have usually been pretty conservative when it comes to making moves during the season. Yeah. I was even surprised when they did the Snell MCW trade during the preseason a couple weeks ago.
You're surprised it happened. You weren't surprised they hit go or green light once it was on the tape.
Right, no, it's just you never really see. I mean, the last time, like, the when they traded for Justin Holiday at the deadline, that was the last, like, that was the first time in several years that the Bulls had actually made a trade for another player. Like, the Luol Deng trade a couple years ago was a salary dump.
Conveyed
the contract of Luol Deng, as that press release famously said. So, I don't know what they're going to do at the deadline. I think if anybody is going to get moved, it'll be Taj if the season is going off the rails and they want to get something for him before he walks. The Rondo thing is interesting. You'd have to get... the only way I could really see that happening is if MCW really, really impresses and they say, okay, MCW is going to be their long-term starting point guard. That's the only way I can really see that happen. I just don't know how much you'll be able to get for Rondo.
Yeah, and the Bulls, remember, they want to see these young kids for an entire year in an ideal world. Now, sometimes to match salaries and also to kind of spruce up a deal with someone that wants Taj, if you want a little more than Taj is worth, what you're asking for, whether it's a pick or a player, you might have to throw one of those young guys in there too.
Right.
So, like, they don't want to get rid of Jaren Grant. They want to see what he can do for a year. But if it's February 17th and 16th or whatever, and someone asks, hey, we're not going through with this deal unless you throw him in there too, and the Bulls really want something on the flip side, I wouldn't be shocked to see one of these young players headed out of town.
Yeah, I would bet against it, though.
Yeah, because you usually bet against things when it comes to Bulls in-season
making trades, yeah.
Of course. I think that takes care of most of our questions. As usual, you can find us at Locked On Bulls on Twitter, too. Send us questions there, or at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And now, to what you've all been waiting for. Record prediction for the Bulls in the 2016-17 NBA season. Sean, I think the floor is supposed to be yours, so go for it.
So you want to go first or should I go first?
No, I just gave the whole floor to you. So then whatever you say, I can just play devil's advocate.
Okay, so I've been thinking about this. I've been going back and forth on it. Like, earlier on in training camp, I was like, oh, they could win 43, 44, 45 games, you know, solidly in the playoffs. And then I watched a couple preseason games, and I was like, maybe that 38 over-under is kind of more accurate. They're going to have the exact same record as last year, 42 and 40.
Ho-ho! I guess, okay, keep going.
And
Why?
I think, I just, I don't think they're going to be in the 30s. I think there's too much talent on the roster for them to be in the mid-30s. As much as the fit isn't great, I think they're going to figure some stuff out and just grind out 40 wins in a 500 record, for, you know, 42 wins, just like they kind of did last year. And I think that is going to be good enough to get them the 8th seed in the playoffs, where they will lose to the Cavaliers in the first round in 5 games. They'll get one.
They'll get one. I got 40 and 42.
Okay.
A 2-game drop for the Bulls from last season. Even though the season will feel more refreshing, even though you'll see some progress from younger guys, I don't think those parts fit together. I'm not buying the Bulls deflecting every question we ask about them. And that's just on the offensive end. I think defensively, there could be serious problems. I haven't seen anything from Nico Mirotic yet to suggest that he is going to be a good, helpful player in the rotation this year. I think that's a concern. Putting Taj Gibson in the starting lineup is helpful for winning games because Taj playing more minutes is good. But we've talked about this before. If they're out of the race, he could be gone at the deadline. You could see a dip later in the year. That second unit's going to have concerns if there's no Taj on it. I just think there's so many concerns compared to certainties, the positive certainties, that it's going to be sub 500. The Bulls should have won more than 42 games last year, not just because of injuries and such, but they kind of gave up, coughed up a lot of late leads, didn't play well down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not predicting that again. I think kind of the regression to the mean there. They'll be more of a 500 team when it comes in close games.
So you think they're not going to make the playoffs then, if you think they're going to go below 500?
Well, yeah. I'm going to say, if I'm going to say 40 wins, most likely that's more of a 9 seed again. And I'm going to say no to the playoffs. And I know we talked several weeks ago, I mean months ago, I guess, after the Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo signings, like, we've talked 43, 44 wins. I mean, high ceiling, would we say, at one point. Like, if everything works out, we could see 47-win team, something like that.
I think that's insane at this point.
In the regular season. But that preseason, I don't like reading into the preseason a ton, but there was not a lot that soothed or calmed your concerns in the preseason. The pieces don't fit Fred Hoiberg's system. I still contend he's a bright basketball mind, and the front office did not give him guys that can run his system very well. And they're not going to go out there and win games because Fred Hoiberg's a brilliant coach or anything. They're not going to win 5 extra games because of that. Because if he is, he's still not going to get to that point because the pieces don't fit. There's always the Rajon Rondo gets disgruntled factor that's concerning. I like Jimmy Butler. I think he's going to be terrific again this year. Probably go to the All-Star game and be awesome. Dwayne Wade, I think he'll stay healthy for the most part.
They're pretty smart about managing him.
I don't see it all going together this year. So 40 wins, 42 losses. What say you to that? You think that's reasonable, Sean?
Yeah,
I guess you're 2 wins away.
Somewhere in that range. I think they're going to be 42 and 40 and get the 8 seed.
Okay, so there you have it. I took the over on the wins from Vegas, but I took the under from wins from last year. And I have out on the playoffs as a 9 seed. Sean has in the playoffs as an 8 seed. I think just because he wants to see Dwayne Wade face LeBron James in the playoffs someday.
Well, who doesn't want to see that? Like, that would be such a fun storyline. Because as much as, like, obviously they won 2 titles together in Miami. And even before that, when Dwayne was in Miami and LeBron was in Cleveland, they never played each other in the playoffs. Like, it would be kind of cool to see that happen once.
Yeah, that's very true. So there you have it on the record. Go print it, save it in your email, text it to us, tweet it to us, Facebook, whatever. As always, we appreciate you listening. Find myself on Twitter at Cody Westerlund. Find Sean at Hyken. We're at Locked On Bulls on Twitter and Facebook. At LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. For basketball questions, advertising inquiries, and most of all, please do subscribe.
That's right. Go on iTunes. Make sure you subscribe there. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review. You can also find us on Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else you can find podcasts. Subscribe to The Athletic to read my work covering the Bulls. Check out 670thescore.com. Listen to 670 The Score. Check out Cody's work covering the Bulls, and we will be back with you. We've actually got a joint episode lined up for tomorrow night. Jay King, who is the Celtics beat writer for Mass Live and is the co-host of the Locked On Celtics podcast, he's going to be in town in Chicago for the home opener tomorrow night. I've already talked to him. He's already said he's down to do this. So we're going to do a joint Locked On Bulls, Locked On Celtics episode tomorrow night after the game.
Look forward to it, and we'll catch you guys later.